You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What a win. On that positive note, welcome into a very early morning episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben DuBose. And well, folks, by now you probably know the good news. Rockets 122, Warriors 121, a stunning come-from-behind victory on ring night at Oracle Arena. The Rockets are now 1-0 on the season with a huge feel-good win. So many storylines. We'll get to them all. But more than anything, I want to highlight just how rare this is and just why this is a big deal for the Rockets psychologically, not just in the short term, but long term as well, as you hope to see this become a season where you actually push the Warriors in the playoffs. Since the start of 2016-2017, the Warriors have lost six times at Oracle Arena. That includes the playoff. Six times at Oracle since the start of 2016, regular season and playoffs. Two of those are to the Rockets, including Tuesday night on ring night. So yes, this is a big deal. This is that rare. I know it's game one out of 82, and in theory, you could almost even it out by losing at Sacramento. But some games are bigger than others. And from a confidence standpoint for the Rockets, this entire season has been about chasing the Warriors, in some ways unconventionally. When so many other teams around the NBA seem to have kind of punted on the next two or three years, you see so many teams that are building for that 3 to 5 year window, hoping that something's going to happen, either the Warriors decline or someone leaves via free agency. The Rockets are zigging while the rest of the league zags. The Rockets are going for it, no matter the odds. They are making the run at the Warriors, and in some ways, that's what we saw Tuesday night. Despite how unlikely it looked, despite the overwhelming emotion in that arena, the Rockets kept coming back over and over again. So it's a feel-good win. Certainly, like I said, two wins against the Warriors, two of the only six wins since the start of 2016. I think that's big for confidence, and really, it's the only game they're going to play at Oracle this year. The next two matchups with the Warriors, the Rockets only play the Warriors three times. Both are in January. Both are at Toyota Center. So long-term, I do think it's a big deal to have success in that building, which is as loud and as frenzied as it gets in the NBA. And yes, it's 1 out of 82, technically, but some wins are bigger than that. From a confidence standpoint, we heard that from Chris Paul after the game, who said it was big for chemistry, big for camaraderie, and I absolutely believe it. You could tell by the hugs, James Harden, PJ Tucker, even Tillman Fertitta got in there, new owner. You could tell that this game meant a lot to the Rockets, and props to them, they were able to get it. And before I even get into any individuals for the Rockets, I want to throw a shout-out to their defense, because the Warriors scored 121 points, and it felt like the Rockets actually played very well defensively. That's how good the Warriors are. They actually held the Warriors to just 20 points in the fourth quarter. Rockets outscoring Golden State 34-20 in the fourth to get the win. And when you look at the Warriors' box score, now Draymond Green was limited to 28 minutes. He didn't play the very end of the fourth quarter due to a knee strain. But folks, they shot the ball pretty well. The Warriors made over 50% of their threes. And by the way, the defense was pretty good. They made a lot of covered shots. Stephen Curry was 8 of 18. Klay Thompson was 6 of 14. Kevin Durant was 7 of 15, although his shot at the buzzer to win the game was waved off. But Nick Young, boy, 8 of 9, 23 points, including 5 of 6 for 20 in the first half alone. I retweeted it from one of my favorite followers, and I know I listened to this show in the first half, that the Warriors would be more beatable if Nick Young weren't playing at above a LeBron James level. And I retweeted it because, well, it was true. That's the level of punch, and sometimes that happens on ring night when you got so much emotion in the gym, and of course, Nick's a new player, and it just seemed like one of those games where it would have been so easy to just kind of shrug your shoulders, say hashtag Houston sports, it's not our night, look at the Astros collapse, all those sorts of silly factors. But no matter what the Rockets had thrown at them, they kept coming. They kept coming in waves. And so even though the Warriors shot pretty well as a team, over 53% overall, 53% from behind the arc, even Nick Young, 23 points on 8 of 9 shooting in his 26 minutes, despite all of that, the Rockets still came back and got a win. So that shows you the level of commitment, the level of toughness, and yeah, why this is such a big win for the Rockets. Because when you look at it, the Rockets were outshot from three. The Rockets had an average game from three, 15 of 41, 36%. Warriors were 16 of 30 for 53. Warriors shot almost 54% from the field overall. Rockets were just at 48.5%. the Warriors had the better numbers. Rockets slightly out-rebounded them, 43-41. But it just felt like the Rockets had a little more commitment. They had a little more drive, and they just had a little more savvy. They wanted this game, and they found a way to get it done. And there are so many individuals that you could credit for this. Obviously, you need to start with James Harden. It was not a great night for Chris Paul individually playing through the bruised knee, but James Harden picked up the slack and then some. 27 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. Perhaps the most important thing, James Harden had just 3 turnovers, 10 assists. Chris Paul had just 1 turnover to 11 assists. And the Rockets, as a team collectively, had just 12, whereas the Warriors had 17. So the Rockets, they were efficient with the ball, they limited turnovers. That's how they were able to get this win, to stay in the game. And more than any one player statistic, as I said, certainly you credit James, 27-10, 6 rebounds to go with that. He wanted this game, he set a good tone, and he did make some shots in the fourth quarter when the Rockets went on their run. But I think more than any individual, I want to keep stressing the importance of team, because there's no one that stands out. Now, the bench did play well. We'll get to Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute in a second. But for the Rockets, this was such a team game in that they led 2-0, and then the Rockets did not lead again until the final score, in which they went up on 2 free throws with PJ Tucker with 40 seconds to go. The Rockets led twice in the game, the final free throws and the first bucket. That's it. There were so many points in the middle of there, especially with the Warriors hitting so many threes, where it would have been easy to check out, this is not our night. And yet they never did. And so it's a testament to the leadership, but more than that, it's just felt like they kept coming. And the biggest part of this, Chris Paul did not play down the stretch. The very end of the game, the Rockets went with James Harden and Eric Gordon as the backcourt lineup, with Tucker, Bamute up in the front for defense. You actually had some Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza. Both you would expect Trevor to be good defensively. He had his 8 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. But Ryan's 13 points, including 3 threes. But Ryan's 8 rebounds, his rebounding, his energy, his overall effort level, that was better too. Chris Paul did not finish out the game because he was a little sluggish on that bruised knee from last week. You know what happened, bumping knees in Memphis. But over the course of 48 minutes, you could see just how valuable it is that the Rockets had one of James Harden or Chris Paul out there at all times. We mentioned, even though Chris struggled from the field, 4 points on 2 of 9 shooting, he had 11 assists to just 1 turnover. He did a fine job of driving the bus. And so because of that, even though you did not have an individual standout, it's not like anyone took over the game, the difference maker for the Rockets was that they just kept coming. And whereas most teams, even the Warriors, have certain lulls, especially early in the second and fourth quarters when you're playing a lot of reserves, the Rockets never had that kind of lull because you have either Chris or James out there at all times. In fact, for all the criticism that Chris seemed to get from the TNT crew, the Rockets actually went on a very influential run, a 7-0 run early in the fourth quarter when Chris was on the floor and James Harden was not. So yes, he did have a big impact. The map that the Rockets have said, this playing one of those guys for 48 minutes, it did pay off, because that, more than anything, is how the Rockets got this done. The Warriors raced out to a 17-point lead in the first half. They were up 15 with a minute left in the third quarter, up 15 with only 13 minutes left in the game. And yet the Rockets, they just kept coming in waves, because no matter the minute of the game, no matter the lineup, the Rockets, when you have James Harden or Chris Paul, are capable of getting hot at any time. And that's how the Rockets were able to kind of stick with it in this game and eventually pull out the win in the fourth quarter, again, outscoring the Warriors 34-20. So yes, there were some individual standouts, but more than anything, I thought this was kind of a team win from the Rockets. Certainly defensively, they stayed with it. They were active on the boards. They wanted this game. But above all of that, I would say, from an offensive standpoint, this was about having one of those guys out there for all 48 minutes. It's one game, but so far, so good. Now, besides the Chris and James stuff, before I move on from that, I do want to touch on the Chris Paul knee injury. That's going to be something to watch. Rockets, of course, are back in action tonight in Sacramento. My personal feeling is that I would be surprised if Chris played. The good news, we know exactly what this is. This is not a mysterious injury. I've had a lot of folks asking me, because certainly you could see the sleeve around his knee last night. You could see him limping at times. I've had folks asking, well, what's going on with Chris Paul? This is not a mystery. This is not that, oh, all of a sudden he's too old, or maybe he's not fitting in with the offense. No, he fit in just fine. 11 assists to 1 turnover, and also battled. He covered Curry fairly well defensively, I thought, had 8 rebounds. So Chris certainly wanted the game. It was a matter of limitations. It wasn't like he was not able to fit in the offense and what the Rockets were trying to do. No, as a matter, he did not have his usual burst off the dribble. And the good news is that we know how the injury happened. He bumped knees. This is not something that we didn't see, something that happened in practice, and maybe the Rockets are hiding something. No, they know it's mid-October. They're not going to force the issue with him. And so this is not a ligament issue. This isn't a sprain. This isn't anything that long-term is concerning. It's just a bruise. However, bruises, if you don't give them a few days to heal up, yeah, they can linger. So I think it is important for the Rockets to take good care of this. I see the case for with it being a bruise. Of course, you'd like to play on ring night against the Warriors. Maybe that's a little bit of that's the closest thing to a playoff game you can get in the regular season. But against the Kings, when it really becomes 1 of 82, not just 1 of 82, but 1 of 82 in October, I'd be a little surprised if Chris Paul played, because a bruise, it's nothing structural, it's nothing ligament related, it's nothing to worry about, but you do need a few days off to let that thing heal. If there's one thing that maybe you can critique, it's that, okay, if he has to miss a few days, maybe you do see a case to go out and get another point guard. I've seen some names like Shamir Nelson thrown out, some of the last-minute roster cuts around the league. We'll see. The Rockets do have Bobby Brown. Maybe they give him a look on Wednesday night in Sacramento if Chris Paul is unable to go. But yeah, as far as Chris and that knee, I'm not worried about it. There's nothing structural. It's not like that the knee is hanging by a thread or something like that. No, it's just a bruise that happens when you bump knees. But yeah, it can be very painful, and it can limit you if you don't give it a real chance to heal up. So my guess is that there's no way that Chris was going to sit out that game. Again, you could see in the immediate aftermath just how much it meant to Chris, the Rockets. But once you get to games like Sacramento, Dallas, that are just 1 of 82, and in this case in mid-October, folks, it would not surprise me at all if he sits, because you do need to get that right. Didn't have any negative criticisms, really, of Chris the basketball player. I don't think the fit was bad. I just thought that he just lacked his usual burst. He was a little tentative because you were seeing him out there. D'Antoni said on one leg after the game, that might be a little bit of an overstatement. Chris Paul didn't go that far in his post-game comments. But yeah, Chris Paul did everything well as far as his effort was there, his defense was there, his floor general qualities, 11 assists to one turnover. He just didn't have the burst to really be a high-level scorer in that environment last night. I do think it's physical-related. The good news is that it's fixable. The bad news, it might require a game or two off. But big picture, when you see just how capable these Rockets are, then certainly I think that's a short-term hit that the Rockets would be willing to take. And a reason they might be able to take that short-term hit is because, well, with the quality of the bench, folks, they're able to recover in a heartbeat. Because individually, again, I led discussing the team for the most part because this was a team win, certainly. But from an individual standpoint, you expect James Harden, who we touched on earlier, 27 and 10, 10 of 23 from the field. You expect James Harden to be great. That's why he was the MVP in the eyes of the players a couple of years back, and he should have been this past year. But you don't necessarily expect 21 of 34 off the bench from Luke Bamute, PJ Tucker, and Eric Gordon. Bamute and Tucker were each 6 of 9 from the field. Eric Gordon was 9 of 16. Gordon had 24 points. Tucker had 20. Luke Bamute had 14. So just a phenomenal night for that bench. 58 points between them. The Rockets only played 3 bench players. Didn't play Nene or Tarik Black at all. I'll touch on that in just a few minutes. But for now, I want to give credit to these three. Because if you heard the post-game interview with James Harden right after it, yeah, he said, we're going to keep fighting. But he said that this team was different. And the reason this team is different, and he said this quote before, we've got dogs. And what he means by dogs, they've just got a certain stick-to-itiveness. It's not even a word, but that's something I keep going back to. No matter what, they keep pushing, they keep fighting. We know the Rockets had the glamour last year, the ability to shoot threes, the ability to score so many points in a hurry, Mike D'Antoni's offense. Well, now, the reason they are so bullish on that is that on this team is they have combined the attributes of last year with guys who are also able to dig down and provide a level of physical and mental toughness that they did not have. Tucker and Bamute, they were both very active from a defensive standpoint. Thought it was actually very fitting that the winning points for the Rockets were not on a brilliant shot, a brilliant move. No, it was actually on P.J. Tucker battling for a rebound and getting fouled, the Rockets being over the bonus, and then P.J. going to the line and making 2 free throws. He wanted it more. He out-battled the Warriors for position. And actually, he should have gotten it again. With 10 seconds left, the only reason why the Warriors had a last shot, which again, Curry missed his shot in the initial action at the end, Durant got it on a kind of a scramble situation. Durant did make a shot, initially ruled good, but then replay showed it was clearly late. Basket waved off and the Rockets won. But the Warriors should not have even had that shot. When the Rockets were up 10 with the ball, with 10 seconds left, Harden fired up a three that would have been a dagger. He missed it. Tucker actually beat Durant to the ball again. His positioning was there again, and he would have gotten the offensive rebound and certainly been fouled because the Warriors would have had no other choice. But Durant threw Tucker to the ground. Then Durant tripped over Tucker, and somehow the foul was on Tucker for allegedly tripping Durant because, of course, he was on the ground from Durant pushing him there. But either way, the bad call did not hurt the Rockets because they won anyway. But it's the same thing as the winning bucket for the Rockets. P.J. Tucker just wanted it more, and really it should have been the clincher on top of just the go-ahead free throws, but the call kind of ruined the magic of saying it happened twice. But in reality, it did happen twice, and it was reflective of just how committed the Rockets were for this entire game. PJ played 29 minutes. He hit his threes, 4 of 6. Bamute did as well, 2 of 3. So between them, you saw them go 6 of 9. But folks, they had 10 rebounds between them, and more than that, it was just the overall toughness. It's not a coincidence. By far, the best plus-minus the Rockets had was plus 20 from PJ Tucker, and that just speaks to the level of energy, hustle, and commitment that he played with. Because no one on the Warriors on their big four shot more than 50% from the field. Again, Klay, 6 of 14, Curry, 8 of 18, Durant, 7 of 15, Draymond, 2 of 6. Now, none of them were dreadful, but none of them went off either. And that's because, folks, when the Rockets put in P.J. Tucker and Luke Bamute, they used them to pick up the best players on the best team in the league, and they did their job. They gave the Rockets a chance to win. That energy was there all night. And again, P.J. Tucker outworking Kevin Durant for big rebounds in the final minute of a competitive game at Oracle. Boy, that says it all. And that's what's different about these Rockets is that, yes, they can shoot threes. That helps. And certainly, as I said, Bamute Tucker going to combine 6 of 9 from three. That's great. But in addition to that, that level of energy, that level of focus, commitment, just that dog-like mentality. That's what's different for this Rockets team. And folks, yeah, it starts with P.J. Tucker and Luke Bamute. And let's throw Chris Paul in the mix as well. Because as I said earlier, even though he was walking around on one leg, as D'Antoni put it, to have 11 assists, just one turnover, 8 rebounds, quality defense on Stephen Curry when he was in there. Yeah, Chris Paul battles as well. All three of those new guys to the rotation, Bamute, Tucker, and Paul, they bring you that energy, that sense of toughness that the Rockets did not have last year. And then you combine that with, of course, the natural upside of their offense, second best in the league, top 10 all time, as Matt Moore of CBS Sports said from this past season. You combine that with the defense and energy of guys like Tucker and Bamute, and yeah, you have a chance to be really, really special. But it wasn't just Tucker and Bamute. I lead with them because they're new. But folks, Eric Gordon, I said earlier, but wow, his 24 points, and perhaps the most encouraging part of it, he had 24 points plus 16 in the plus minus, and Eric was 0 of 6 from 3. That, to me, folks, is incredible, because that speaks to just how springy he was, just how healthy he was. If you haven't done it yet, Twitter search Eric Gordon. You can see a couple of the dunks he had. It looked like Clippers-level explosion from Eric Gordon early in this game. It wasn't just a matter of him getting back the form from his first 40 games last year when the Rockets were 31-9. He shot over 40% from three, 18 points a game, borderline all-star. I've talked for a while about him being the variable in that regard. But folks, if he's at the level of athleticism that he was last night, which is even higher than last year, in my opinion, higher than early last year, then folks, he's so good that even if he's not making his threes, he is that valuable because he can take it directly to the rim, even against a team of really good defenders like the Warriors. So, yeah, that speaks. And of course, I'll throw the mentality in there as well, because there were certain points in this game. Again, the Rockets were trailing by 17 in the first half, by 15 late in the third quarter, where it would have been easy to check out, especially if you're Eric Gordon, you're not making your threes. But I think he knew that if he drove inside, those were the buckets. You had to take a pounding because it's a big game. If you want to score, you're going to have to take a little bit of contact. And boy, did he do that inside the arc. 9 of 10 from the field. Also got to the line 8 times, made 6 of those. So I thought it was a very encouraging game from Eric. If it's possible to have a bulldog game on offense, that's what he did. Eric, a lot of times, gets noted as a three-point specialist, which generally he is. Did win the three-point shootout last year. Great for him. But in addition to that, when he's right, and especially early in his career, he is so strong physically that he could get to the rim, and he has a certain attacking mentality that can get you easy buckets. And over the course of 48 minutes against the league's, I don't know if the Warriors are the best, but certainly one of the best defensive teams out there, especially in terms of their length and versatility, then yeah, getting those easy buckets is a big deal. So while Tucker and Bamute, they made their shots on offense, but I give them mostly credit for being that bulldog on defense. Eric Gordon was the bulldog on offense, and all three of those guys, again, 58 points combined and 21 of 34 from the field. Just an incredible performance from the Rockets bench. And again, let's not forget the role of James Harden and Chris Paul in this. Combined 21 assists from those two. And of course, it helps the bench be more effective when, because of the presence of two Hall of Fame point guards, you're able to have one of them on the floor at all times with those bench guys. So yeah, they got a lot of better looks than you might otherwise expect coming off the bench, and at least for one night, the plan worked to perfection. The Rockets got everything they could have wanted for and more out of those guys. And as I said earlier, I think that team approach of having one of James Harden and Chris Paul out there for all 48 minutes certainly had a lot to do with it. And by the way, before I stop talking about Bulldogs, again, I do want to throw a shout-out to Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza, because the stat lines aren't just jaw-dropping for either. Trevor was 3 of 9, 8 points. Ryan was 5 of 12. For 13 points, but Ryan in particular, plus 8 in his 33 minutes, he had 8 rebounds, he battled, he got more rebounds, he sealed off position in ways he didn't last year. We heard Ryan say going into the year that he made a commitment to being more agile, more athletic, quicker. It certainly seemed like that. He got rebounds, and Trevor, 6 points, 5 rebounds. He also had a couple of big buckets early in the first quarter when it really felt like the Rockets could have gotten down 20 early in the game. The Warriors played just off so much emotion from the ring night, and Trevor early in the game, a couple of those shots I thought were very big from the standpoint of just keeping the Rockets in within striking distance enough that eventually when you make that run in the fourth quarter, the Rockets were able to finally get over the hump. So kudos to both of those guys. Again, the bench guys get more credit, and they probably deserve it because, well, they were so efficient shooting the ball on top of the defense. But that commitment extended to Ryan and Trevor as well. And again, they played 33 and 38 minutes respectively. And even some big minutes in the fourth quarter for Ryan. This was a matchup in which you worry, okay, how is Ryan going to be able to fare when it really matters? And well, not only did he play well, again, plus 8 is 33 minutes, but he was out there in the fourth quarter. And that in and of itself says a lot. Now, the one guy in this podcast, the Rockets played 8 players, and I've mentioned 7 of them. The one guy I have not mentioned yet, Clint Capela. Now, it wasn't a dreadful night for him, at least from a top-line perspective. He had 12 points, 60% shooting, 4 rebounds in his 18 minutes, but he was a team-worst minus 23. And the reason for that is that, well, the Warriors, especially when you have that death lineup with Draymond Green at the center spot, they're not a good matchup for traditional centers at all. And the Rockets, in fact, Clint played 18 minutes, and then none of the backup centers, not Nene, not Tarik Black, they did not play at all. Because when the Warriors go small, when they go to that Draymond Green lineup, they have the length, they have the defensive flexibility to cover the Rockets when the Rockets are on offense. And then defensively, who in the world can the center possibly pick up? Because even Draymond, who theoretically is the biggest on the floor, is capable of facilitating the offense and making plays off the dribble. So this was not a game for the centers to really play well. Clint, to his credit, now when Draymond went out, I thought Clint made some quality plays in the fourth quarter, got a couple of buckets that were big in the comeback. But in general, the Warriors are just not a team in which centers are that valuable. It is what it is. Sometimes you can't dictate the pace. In theory, you would like to say, well, you know, if Clint Capela is a star, you should have the Rockets dictate the pace. Well, sorry, the Warriors are so transcendently good from the talent level. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to match up with them rather than forcing them to match up with you. That's just the way it goes. The talent base is just so high that ultimately, I know negative 23 is not a great plus minus, but I have a tough time saying that this was a bad game for Clint Capela or making much of any judgment on Clint based on this one game. I think we'll have a much better handle tonight after the Rockets play the Kings because the centers could have a much bigger role there. Reality, as far as playing the Warriors, especially in Oracle in that environment when they seem to get a few friendly whistles early as well, it's just not a game that's made for centers. And ultimately, you could see that by the Rockets only giving 18 minutes, most of those early in the first and third quarter, to Clint Capela. Other than that, the Rockets knew that this was just not the game for them. And again, that was the only minutes for true centers because Nene and Tarik Black did not play at all. Now, the upside to this, and I'm going to close out the podcast by spending it forward previewing tonight, is that because you did not play Nene, and you barely played Clint at 18 minutes, those guys should be more fresh for what would typically be kind of a dicey game in Sacramento. Second night of a back-to-back, a big emotional win. There's always a chance, physical and emotional letdown after a win like that. Is that a real factor? Certainly. And the Rockets may not be having Chris Paul, given the knee soreness from bumping knees last week. So yes, this game in Sacramento, and it's going to be big for them. It's their opening night. You know, the crowd in Sacramento is always loud, always a big deal. So normally this would be a scary game, and in some ways it's still, in some ways it certainly still is a scary game. However, the Rockets are going to have basically all three of those centers fresh. Nene and Tarik Black, because they didn't play at all. Clint just 18 minutes. And Nene, especially, that was what I worried about, because if he had played Tuesday night, there's no way in hell that Nene, at 35 years old, he'd even play back-to-backs last year. Now he's a year older at 35. He's coming off the torn groin muscle. I could have guaranteed you that if he played last night, he would not play tonight. You're not going to see the Rockets overextending Nene, because, again, they weren't even letting him play back-to-backs for the most part last season. So you're going to have a fresh Nene. He looked good in the preseason, and Clint only played 18 minutes. So hopefully the Kings are a team. The Rockets should not be having to play the Kings style. As I said, the Rockets sort of had to play the Warriors style, because when you're going up against one of the most talented teams, shouldn't say one of the most, the most talented team in NBA history, you can't help it. You've got to play their style. They're just too good if you try and force them out of how they play. You've got to match up with those guys the best you can and hope that you can beat them in terms of effort, commitment, things like that. I don't think you're going to beat them by forcing a traditional center in that lineup because they're just entirely too skilled. But the Kings, that's different. The Kings should not be able to dictate style or pace of play. The talent level is not there. So this is one game where hopefully you probably are going to have some tired legs from those regulars that you can lean on those interior guys a little more. Clint only played 18 minutes. Nothing from Nene or Tarik Black. Hopefully you can lean on those guys, also get a few easier buckets in the process if they're able to score in the middle, and maybe that helps offset any reductions in efficiency from the perimeter guys, or maybe even the absence of Chris Paul if he, as I personally expect, takes a game off to rest that knee that he bumped in Memphis. So, again, that's kind of my closing thoughts. I haven't mentioned the centers at all because the Warriors are just so good that they're just too skilled. You're not going to be able to play a center very much against them. I think you have to from time to time. And to be fair, the Rockets generally matched up Clint with Zaza when he was in there, and Zaza played 10 minutes, Jordan Bell played 12. But by and large, with the Warriors, it's about that skilled lineup, and when they do, unless your center is just clicking on all cylinders, there's just not really a place for them. And there's a reason why, if you think back to that Rockets win in December last year that they had at Oracle, Montrezl Harrell was closing out that game, not Clint Capella, not Nene. And it's the same reason, because you could switch with Montrezl Harrell. Folks, if you're playing the Warriors, you have got to be able to switch on things because they're just too skilled. They move the ball too well. If you don't have five guys that can switch, you're going to run into problems, especially when, again, they're running those death lineups that just have incredibly skilled players all over the court. Unfortunately, there are guys that the Rockets' traditional centers, maybe Clint Capella can pick up a few because he's super athletic, a guy in his low 20s, but Tarik Black, Nene, certainly not. And maybe the extension of that, though, is that they're rested for Sacramento, and on top of it all, well, they go into Sacramento with an unexpected win as well in Golden State. So maybe between having a fresh set of interior guys and also the euphoria, the positive vibes from getting a feel-good win in Golden State in Game 1, maybe that's enough to get you through one of your only back-to-backs the entire year. It's funny, this whole thing, there are significantly fewer back-to-backs around the league, and somehow the Rockets drew one of their only ones on the first two nights of the year. But certainly it's tough, but it's not a long plane or bus ride from Oakland to Sacramento, and the Rockets should certainly have a little bit of a psychological boost going into this game, feeling very good about themselves, and then hopefully the physical boost of not having much of a toll at all on those centers in Game 1. So on that positive note, I will wrap up this brief post-game episode. I suppose it's post-game. It's early morning Monday, but either way, it's the same principle, evaluating the big 122-121 win over the Warriors at Oracle Arena on ring night. Huge feel-good win for your Rockets. And as always, here at Locked On Rockets, your home for post-game and, well, daily commentary about your Houston Rockets. That's what we're going to do throughout this season. So for now, I'm going to get some rest throughout the day, try and recharge, fit in a nap if I can. But with the Astros again playing at 4, now tied at 2 in the American League Championship Series, that may be easier said than done. But hopefully catch a nap at some point, all of you guys can, because the Rockets again late night tonight at Sacramento, game starting at 9 p.m. Houston time. So for now, I will sign off and get ready for my day, and well, hope you guys do as well. Again, this is Locked on Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on the Houston Rockets. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked on Rockets, follow me, your host, at Ben Dubose, or email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, with any questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the Rockets fan. Once again, very happy final from Oracle Arena. Rockets 122, Warriors 121. Rockets now 1-0 on the season and back in action tonight in Sacramento. Look forward to talking with you guys after that one as well.